Now, let's talk about this one. We've had a lot of discussion about, obviously, the Me Too movement, which hasn't gone away. It's just been overtaken by COVID-19 and Black Lives Matter and all of these other kinds of events. But it's still there. But we also want to remind people that workplace harassment is not just about sex. So let's actually do a little bit of a drill down here. Who we are and why we all need to belong. When we were talking about the context of Title VII, I want to ask you a question. Is there a difference between race and color? Yeah, there is a difference. Color is the color of your skin. So you have all kinds of folks, even, you know, white folks that have different colors of their skin. But that's an important distinction, and it's a very important distinction to understand today. For example, some of the kinds of things that you have going on with unconscious bias are things where people make judgments about people because of their skin tone. You know, even making unconscious bias decisions for somebody who may be Black, who has a lighter skin color, than somebody who may be Black that has a darker skin color. So understanding that is important. By the same token, you can have a situation today where you can have discriminatory conduct between two Black people. On the same basis, you have a very light-skinned Black person being demeaning to a very dark-skinned Black person. So that would be discrimination and harassment on the basis of race and color. But it never ceases to amaze me how many times people can really mess that up. I had a situation about 6 months ago where a manager walked up to another one of his peers, and he looked at him and he said, "You know what? You look like you could be one of those Arab terrorists." And the guy looked at him and he said, "You know, I'm white." But it was a very derogatory comment. And this white person just had a very dark complected skin tone color. But it's those kinds of things that are inappropriate behavior. National origin. That's a hot button today. When we think about national origin, we think of unconscious bias and the stereotypes with folks who are Hispanic and Latinx. And the comments and the derogatory things that people say about people's national origin. I've had some things that I've had to address in training over the last few months. Here's an example. A manager walked up to an employee, a coworker, and he said something to this effect: "I'm very concerned about you. I just want to know, is anybody in your family going to be deported? You know, do you guys have to worry about that?" And the guy looked at him and he said, "Well, I don't think so, because I'm not Hispanic." What was up about that? What was up about that? We need to train people to curb their enthusiasm in the workplace today who are constantly being nosy about who somebody is. Well, who are you? What are you? Where are you from? How long have you guys been over here? You know, all of those kinds of things are not appropriate. Also, right now, that we need to be particularly sensitive to is COVID-19 harassment and discrimination against Asians. It is very inappropriate for people in the workplace to be ostracizing Asian employees or making comments to them that they have the kung fu flu or all these other kind of derogatory comments. The EEOC has posted on its pandemic guidelines about COVID-19 that is an area that is on their radar screen, and that employers must be on notice and dealing with national origin types of discrimination right now during the pandemic. Mental or physical disability. Let's talk about this one for a moment. You know, people, when you think about the ADA, they immediately start talking about, or they start thinking about, individuals in wheelchairs. Yes, they are protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act. But there's other folks as well. What about individuals with hearing impairments? What about individuals with vision impairments? You know, and again, what kinds of assumptions and what kinds of stereotypes do we have about individuals with physical disabilities? What about making them feel invisible? I'll share something with you quickly. Last year, I was out for most of the year, because I had a bunch of medical problems, but one of them resulted in me being in a wheelchair for about 2 months. And it is an experience that I will never, ever forget. I never realized how difficult, for example, it is to use the restroom in a public building in a wheelchair. The door is very, very heavy to open to the women's restroom. And I learned to open it by turning my wheelchair around backwards and pushing against the force of the door. But it really made me realize the privilege that I have to be able to walk. When we think about other kinds of disabilities, we also need to think about hidden disabilities. For example, how many of you know someone who you work with who's a recovering alcoholic? How many of you know someone who's taking any one or more of the following drugs? Maybe they take Prozac, Effexor, lithium, Xanax. Maybe they have manic depression, panic attacks, anxiety disorders. All of those things, including alcoholism and recovering from drug addiction, are protected disabilities under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So training people not to make discriminatory comments and understanding that as employers, you have a duty to reasonably accommodate unless there is an undue burden or an undue hardship. The way to do that is to have a discussion called the interactive process. And that is done on a case-by-case basis.